You know, Jesus was quite a radical, did you know that? He loved people, but he hated the enemy. He was compassionate and kind to broken people, but when he met the enemy, I tell you what, he put them under his foot. Do you know that? And when we have the enemy here, this is what we do. Stamp on him and put him under our feet. That's where he belongs. And sometimes we give him too much time in our life. And we let him get away with stuff, and we have to say, enough's enough. And today, enough is enough. Enough is enough. There are times when I'm dealing with things with where the enemy's winning and he's not going to win anymore. Amen. Thanks, Brian. Glad you said it, mate. He's not going to win anymore. You're going to have your families back. And you're going to enjoy the rest of your time with them. You're going to have them back. You've got to believe him for it. Amen. If you're visiting today and you think he's strange, I am strange. But I'm calling time. It'll either take me out or we'll win. That's what will happen. Part 39. I don't know if I'm going to get even through it today. Stronger, better together. Two weeks ago when I spoke, what did I talk about? Can anybody remember?
Plan A.
Plan A. There is no plan B. There's only plan A for this church. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. We're going to read it together from the screen. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean. Stop. Read it again. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. So remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Stop. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, next verse, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the seventh and the last time that Jesus uses the phrase, I am. The seventh and the last time. Seven is the number of perfection. There is a reason that Jesus says this as the seventh time. There is a purpose and a plan in when he brings this teaching, at what particular time he brings this teaching, and how he brings this teaching now. And it's about, when he's talking about these I ams, it's about his relationship with his disciples. Jesus is talking to his disciples, I'm the good shepherd. It's all about the relationship with him and his disciples. He wants his disciples to get something. He wants his disciples to understand something. And he's going to teach them something now that is going to perhaps blow their minds in some ways. Now, the vine is a prolific plant. It has many branches. And each branch produces much fruit. Say much fruit. So there's the vine, there's the branches, and there is the fruit. And if you've got lots of fruit on the branches that are connected to the vine, it tells you that it's healthy. If you have no fruit or the branches are dead, that tells you it is unhealthy. And Jesus explains to his disciples what's going to happen in this relationship between him and his disciples in the days to come. He's going to explain to them that he's going to die. He's going to explain to them that even though he dies, he'll be raised again from the dead. And the relationship between him and them will continue. Not only will it continue, but there will be much fruit. And so Jesus has to get them to understand what he's saying. Does anybody know in the Old Testament what grapes represented? Fruitfulness, yes. But more specifically, they represent the people of Israel who were supposed to be fruitful for God. God planted them in a land where they would be fruitful for God and do his will. That when people looked upon the nation of Israel, they saw a fruitful people that did God's will. So when you read in the Old Testament about fruit, especially grapes, it's talking about the people of Israel that God had a plan with. Now, each year the Hebrews celebrated Passover. The Jewish Passover happened this week. On Thursday was Passover in the Jewish calendar. We celebrated it early. Now, when they come and celebrate Passover, shout out, what are they celebrating, anybody?
Coming out of Egypt.
Coming out of Egypt. Okay. Deliverance out of Egypt. And they go back and they remember how God was faithful to them and brought them out of Egypt and planted them in a land called the Promised Land. So when they remember Passover, they remember a number of things. The first thing is they remember is that God has delivered them. The second thing that they remember is why they existed in the Old Testament, to be fruitful and to do God's will. So when they're celebrating Passover, they're also remembering that they were called at once to be fruitful. So when Jesus is celebrating this, and as Jesus is telling them, I am the vine, you are the branches. They get it. Jesus is talking something deeper level than just a parable about a vine. When they take Passover, they take 4 cups of wine. Red wine. And when they do so, they were remembering on each occasion God's faithfulness to them. You see, if God is faithful and we're linked into a faithful God, what kind of fruit do you think we're going to produce? Faithfulness. We're going to be like him. And so Jesus is explaining very clearly to the disciples, the people of Israel, they should have been fruitful. But now, because of their unfaithfulness and my faithfulness, I'm the vine. I'm taking over from what the people of Israel should have done. And I want to tell you, if we don't do what God asks us to do, he'll choose somebody else. Do I need to say that again? If we don't obey what God says, he will choose somebody else. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So, Jesus had said already, oh, hello. Come follow me. And the disciples had left everything and followed Jesus. Good old Peter, good old James, good old John, we've left everything to follow you. And they're working it through. They're working through this process where, what does it mean now to follow this man who does the miracles, that raises the dead, that people who were sick, they're made well. And this teaching that he's bringing, they're working it through. What does that mean for me today? And in a sense, this church is working through what it means to follow Jesus today. We're starting to get what Jesus says. But now Jesus puts another phrase together, another statement. He says these, remain. Can you say the word remain? Or if you're an old fashioned AV person or New King James or King James. It's abide. You can use abide. You can use remain. Do you know what? It means the same. It means remain. Jesus starts to use this phrase and they need to start to understand it. They already knew Jesus was the Messiah. They grasped it. They got it to a point. But what they didn't understand was what Jesus is saying. And he's unpacking this about abiding in me. Jesus had taught them at the end of chapter 14 he was going to be beaten and murdered by the religious leaders. And what Jesus is saying, when all this happens, when I've laid down my life, when I've been beaten, when I've been put in a stone cold tomb, when I'm raised from the dead, the relationship's going to still stay the same. You're still going to have me. It's going to be different, but you're still going to have me. And for every disciple of Jesus Christ, we will have a wonderful relationship with Jesus if we remain in the vine. Jesus was talking about his kingdom. Do you remember we talked about his kingdom not necessarily being a physical one, but starting with a spiritual one where he is king? And he is going to explain to these disciples and starts in this process before he dies about what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Look at the person next to you and say, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. You may be a citizen of the United Kingdom, or you may be on a visa like Bianca from Brazil or Italy, whichever country she comes from. But you have a passport today where you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And that can take you absolutely anywhere. And you can do anything for God as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And every nation has to bow down to the kingdom of God. Amen. Great Britain does. When Jesus steps into Great Britain, guess what? He rules and reigns.
Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus is explaining to the disciples, if you're going to be my citizen, there's going to be some pruning that's going to happen. There's some things I need to do so you can bear fruit. So we're introduced at this point that if we're going to be stronger, better together, we need to understand what it means to abide and remain in Jesus. Because the battle is strong. The battle may get stronger. Jesus wins. But there's a battle in between. And in that battle, we have to remain in him. When all we see is the battle, we remain in him. When everything seems hopeless, everything seems that there is no chance that this can change, we remain in him.
Hallelujah.
And you have to remain. I can't get you to remain in the vine. You have to do that. You can't get me to remain in the vine. I have to do that. If all I do is produce a sermon on a Sunday for you and produce that study, I'm sorry, I don't want to say that negatively, or if only my study is to produce something for you, I'm not remaining in the vine for me. And if I don't remain in the vine for me, I'm no good for you. And if you don't remain in the vine, you're no good for us. Is that okay to say that?
Yeah.
To be a citizen, we have to remain in the vine. The truth is, this kind of life God has called us to live, it's not just difficult, it's impossible. Unless, say the word unless, we remain in the vine. It's absolutely impossible to live a Christian life if we're not attached to the vine. But it's more than possible if we remain in the vine. And I'm telling you now, the time's ahead of us. You've got to remain in the vine. You've got to be tapped in. The branches that do not remain are cut off. Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the gardener. who cares for the branches, who makes us fruitful, and the branches are those who claim to be followers of Jesus. The fruitful branches are true believers who, by their living union with Jesus, produce much fruit. But those who are unproductive, those who turn their back on him, will be separated from the vine. There are two things that happen. You're cut off or you're pruned. Oh, Lord, I don't like being pruned. Get over it. So what's going to happen? Why? So you can bear more fruit. The fruit that will bring glory to God. You are worthy of it all. Don't be one that's cut off. Be one that is ready to be pruned. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it would be more fruitful. God sometimes must discipline us and prune us in order to strengthen us, to strengthen our character, to strengthen our faith. But you know, a branch that does not bear fruit are worthless and infect the rest of the tree. People that are in the church that aren't in the vine, and they're complaining and moaning. Everything's wrong. You know, they want revival, they want God to do this, they want God to do that, but they don't even sort their own life out. Anybody? Am I talking to you? He's talking to me. Talking, complaining, infecting the branches. I'm not doing it. Jesus will cut you off. Because he's not going to have his church infected, because his church is called to bear fruit.
Amen.
We've got to live like citizens of Jesus, of the kingdom of God. We've got to behave like citizens. You see, part of the pruning is to develop our character so that we become more like Jesus. If somebody looks at me, I hope they'll start to see something of Jesus, a little bit of Jesus. It's only a glimmer. It's part of my character that's changing and developing. Hopefully I'm growing up and maturing to be a fruit bearer. Some people say, well, and this scripture is quite debated, and it has been over the centuries by so many Christian theologians. You can get loads of material about this story, where people think this and people think that and people think the other. Some people think, well, it's all about you going and winning people for Jesus and having another person following Jesus because of you. And other people say, no, it's nothing to do with that. It's to do with becoming more like Jesus, where the fruit of the Spirit is. And we'll look at those in a minute. It's both. It's very simple. We don't need a theological degree. It's winning people for Jesus because of who we are, because we're attached to him and become like Jesus. But it's also becoming more like Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit living in our life. As we move to the Oasis Army, the first thing I think I need to talk about is the fruit. And we're going to come back to fruit. Tell me, how do I identify an apple tree?
From the fruit.
If I see one of these on a branch, I go, do you know what that is? I know what that is. That's an apple tree. I can identify the kind of fruit by what grows on it. Does a grape grow an apple tree? No? What does it grow on? You're going to see a grape tree, weren't you? Who likes grapes?
Yeah.
You like grapes? If a banana grows on a banana tree, what is the fruit?
Banana.
Who likes bananas? Do you about the Irishman that worked in the banana? Have we got any Irish people? Any Irish people that work here? No. My daughter says, don't tell me. I'm going to tell anyway. Got the sack. Do you know why? He threw all the bent ones away. If we want a banana, we'll go to a banana tree. Who wants this banana? There you are. Sorry. in trouble again. When people look at the branches, which is you, what fruit are they seeing? Is there any fruit on there? What is it, good fruit or bad fruit? I told you once about somebody that worked for me, and I got a phone call at 9 o'clock in the morning saying, one of your staff members just went down the window and swore at me. What kind of king, citizen of the kingdom of God is that? So Jesus uses the word abide in me. Can you say abide in me? Abide. Remain in me. If you're a theologian, it is called the positional truth, i.e. who we are in God. Our position in God. It's called the positional truth. Where we stand in God. Being in Christ automatically puts me in a right relationship with God the Father. Being in a relationship with Jesus automatically puts me in the right relationship with God the Father. Because I'm in Christ. In other words, because of our relationship with Jesus, God treats you and I exactly the way the Father treats the Son. Did you get that? Is that not good news?
Yeah.
Because of who we are in Christ, God the Father treats us the same way he does his Son. And this is one of the most amazing benefits about being in Jesus and remaining in him. Because Jesus teaches, God the Father treats us just like he does his Son. Ask anything in my name and it will be given unto you. You're Son of the living God. So we've got to start living like sons and daughters of the living God. Yeah? That means how we behave, how we treat other people, how we live our life, the faith that we apply to every situation. And stop living like paupers. Poor me. Oh, I feel so bad. Everyone's against me. So, when you have Jesus on your side, they're already outnumbered. If 1,000 people surround you and you go out that door, do you know what? You're already on the winning side and they're outnumbered. Start living as a citizen of the living God. Start behaving like it and start showing this world what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If I got in my car and drove to Buckingham Palace, because I thought, wouldn't it be nice to have tea with Charles III? I would take my car, I would drive into London, pay my congestion charge. I would come to the gates of Buckingham and the guard would come and he would say to me, what do you want? I've come to see the king, just have a chat. Just thought I'd spend a bit of time, I've got a bit of free time on my hands. The guard would say something like, goodbye. Or words to that effect. However, if the king wanted me to have a cup of tea with him and a cake, he might send his car to pick me up. I get in his car. The driver drives me to the gates. And the guard knows the car belongs to the king, opens the gates and lets me in. Because I'm in the car. Does that make sense? I'm in the king's car. I'm allowed into the presence of the king. This is our positional truth. Being in Christ, remaining or abiding in Christ, means I am treated differently. Romans 8 verse 1, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Do you believe that? Can we have the rest of that verse, Fran? We can't, okay. Because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Do you know you've been set free from the law of sin and death?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
You've been set free from the law of sin and death because you abide in the vine. That's who we are. The Apostle Paul clearly teaches that a believer is regarded having the same righteous standing as Jesus. So Jesus is affirming the disciples' positional truth of now being in him, abiding in him, And he's saying to them, your purpose is production. Your purpose is to reproduce me in other people. Your purpose is for the same fruit that you've seen in my life to be seen in your life. And the disciples start to understand something far deeper than just a nice story about Jesus being the vine and the Father being the gardener and you're the branches. When Jesus saved you and he saved me, he created us to be fruitful. And if we're not fruitful, he'll prune us. And if we don't stay in the vine, he won't let that infect the rest of the vine. And so as we're moving to part 39, which we've always been coming to build up this climax about what God's going to expect from us, because much is given, much will be expected. If you want God to move, there is an expectation that he has. Galatians 5:22 to 23. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is, shout it out, shout it out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We love that one, don't we? I can't control my bad behaviour. It just happens. I can't control my tongue. It just happens. I thought we died to the law of sin and death, haven't we? Have we just not read that? That's why I didn't become a doctor. I didn't have any patients. For OCC, Plan A is both the qualities and the production of winning others and to grow up. John 15:4-5. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
But with you, we can do everything. All things. By remaining in the vine. You see, it was so tapped into that supernatural sap of Jesus into our lives, we can't help but bear fruit. We'll be fruit bearers because we'll become more like him. Winning Jesus is not about going on the street. Winning people for Jesus is not about going on the streets. Although thank you for everyone that did on Saturday. It's remaining connecting to the vine. And what will happen in the last days is people will turn away from Jesus and be cut off from the vine. And they can't live a good life. They can't live a pleasing life because they're not in the vine. And it's impossible to live a life pleasing for God unless you're in the vine. In the last days, the enemy will seek to pull people away from the vine, to distract them with other things, to put them in wrong sexual relationships with people, to choose wrong relationships with friends, to do everything he can to pull you away from the vine. And you've got to say, no. As for me, I am going to remain in the vine. That's what I'm going to do. John 15:7-8. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. How do we show ourselves to be disciples of Jesus? How do we bear much fruit? Remain in him. Listen, I can't tell you how important this is in your life. I can't overemphasize, you need to remain in the vine. In the times that we're living, in the times that are coming. Do you know, if we remain in the vine, we'll know how to pray in a situation. Because that life-giving supernatural power of the Holy Spirit will just teach us how to pray. And see things the way Jesus sees them. He'll give us supernatural spectacles to wear. to see the situation and what's going on around us, because we're in the vine. I'm going to miss 2 pages of notes. Praise the Lord. Centuries before Jesus arrived as a child, grew up as a man, the people of Israel were taken from captivity and they had the opportunity to go into a new land. And 10 of the spies said, "We don't want to live in the new land. Let's go back and be slaves again. Let's find another leader. We don't need Moses or Aaron. What we need to do is go back to slavery." "Well, if you want to go back, carry on. But I'm not coming with you. You can go. I'm not going to die on the top of a mountain, that Mount Nebo, be carried off by an angel. I want the promised land. Amen. I want to be planted. This is a fruitful land.
Hallelujah.
This is our promised land.
Amen.
Belongs to the church. It is fruitful.
Yes.
There is fruit.
Yes.
Where you live, there is fruit because you are there.
Yes.
If you want to go back to slavery, carry on. But if you don't, remain in the vine. Oasis Christian Centre will only get stronger and stronger and better together if we remain in the vine.
Amen.
If I don't, you need to appoint another pastor that will lead you. If my elders don't, we'll have to appoint other elders that will. And if you don't, God will choose somebody that he wants to, that will.
Hallelujah.
David said these words, Joshua said these words, "As for me and my house," do you know what? What is it? I'm going to say this. We're going to remain in the vine. As hard as it is, we're going to remain in the vine. And we will bear fruit. Ian, are you doing communion?
Yeah.
Thank you. We're going to take communion. And then we're going to ask everybody to come and share. Come forward for communion today. It's going to be a bit different. I know it's 11:59. We'll be finished by 2. Just making Emmanuel feel at home, because he's waiting for that to happen.
Yes.
He said to me, "Robin, when can we finish our service at 5 or 7? Thank you so much for listening. Do you still love me?
Yes.
Do you understand my heart, what I'm saying? No, don't do that. I'm not interested in claps.
That was for Jesus.
Oh, that's all right then. What I am interested in is we become fruit bearers.
Yes.
Thank you.